So for the last couple of shiurim, you've learned about the history of the making of the Aseres HaShvatim and some of the main kings from the Malchei Yehuda and the Malchus Yisrael, the different kings from the leaders of Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. And now we're going to start discussing the actual exile of the Aseres HaShvatim. And I want to start off by debunking a big myth that if you go to your average Orthodox Jew, if there is such a thing, and you say, tell me the story of the Aseres HaShvatim, what happened? I imagine, without doing the actual survey myself, that 90% will tell you the following thing. At some point at the end of Bayis Sheni, right before the Churban Bayis Sheni, a king came and took the Aseres HaShvatim, and we haven't seen them again. That's the average story that you're going to hear. But not one sentence of that story is true. We have to first of all remember that we are talking about the end of Bayis Rishon. And not at the end, we're talking about 100 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. On top of that, we're not talking about an exile that happened all at once. We're soon going to see that it happened over a period of years, a few Shvatim at a time. It didn't happen by one king, it took a few different kings to bring all the Aseres HaShvatim into Galus. And finally, only 9 of the Aseres HaShvatim actually went into Galus. One of the Shvatim left by themselves, like we're soon going to see. So you see, it's a whole different picture than what most people know. But let's start with the first Galus. And in order to understand the circumstances that were going on in the world of the time, you have to know a few concepts. The first thing is called, you have to understand what a vessel state is. Anyone here has ever heard of the term vessel state? A vessel state was a common thing that took place in the times of the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, where a country would conquer another country, but leave the king in power and just make that king pay taxes. So in other words, you had your own king, but that king knew that there was Melech Malchei Amlochim. He knew that there was a king which was in charge, and the country would have to pay taxes to that king. The moment the king would stop paying taxes, that would be considered a merida b'malchus, and you would risk the invasion of the original king. He would come and reconquer your kingdom and throw you out. But a vessel state is basically you have your own kingdom, but you're paying taxes to another king. Another thing you have to know is about a country. Not just a country, it was almost the ruling kingdom of the world, which today doesn't exist, which is called Ashur. Ashur, which the English word is Assyria, or Assyrian rulership, was pretty much Iraq, Turkey, that part of the world, was a big, big kingdom. It was called Ashur. And this kingdom had some very, very famous kings. And the same way in Mitzrayim, the kings were called Paroi, right? You could have Pari the first, Pari the second, Pari the third. So when you hear about Pari for hundreds of years, you're like, wow, this guy lived long. No, there were a bunch of Parois. So they had a title for a while that the kings of Asher would use, and it was called Tiglath-Pileser. You can Google it. That was the title that the kings, it was something after their gods, I think, Tiglath-Pileser, that was the title. And there's Tiglath-Pileser 1, 2, and 3. Now most people would think that one is the grandfather, one is the son, and one is the grandson. No. Our main focus is on Tiglath-Pileser the third. he basically killed the previous king and his family and just took the title. So it sounds like he was the son and grandson. No, he was just some Rosh Merusha that killed a lot of people and became king. Now, he's the one that came up with the idea that if you're going to conquer people, they can always rebel against you again. So he was the one that came up with the chokhmah of mixing the world up. You conquer people, let's move them to another country. When people are not in their homeland, they don't have the home court advantage. They don't know the area. Harder for them to rebel against you if they're not in their land. So it was his idea of starting to mix up the world. You conquer a place, let's move a bunch of people away, put people in, start moving people around. This way they're less comfortable. That was his chokhmah. So we have this guy, Tiglath-Pileser, who's in the north. He's in Assyria. And now, most of the times, they don't want to make a war. They would rather just get taxes. They would threaten a war and get taxes. So if you look in the years on your right-hand side, about 733, 727, you see that the king of that time, his name is Ochoz. Ochoz is the Melech Yehuda of the time. And Ochaz says, he sees that what's going on, and he says, no, I'm not going to fight with this Meshugna Tiglath-Pileser, I'll pay him taxes. So Malchus Yehuda is under Ochaz. Now what's going on in Mamleches Yisrael? So you have this king called Pekahia, who's the son of the king Menachem, who he became king because he killed the king before him, Sholem. Now, he has a general, and his general is Pekach ben Ramaliah. And this Pekach over here, who thinks like he's a smart man, he was not so smart. And he kills Pekachia, and he becomes king. Now what happens is, this Pekach, who wasn't such a Pekeach, he became friendly with another king. I think the king of Syria itself. And they threaten Malchus Yehuda that if you're not going to join our rebellion against Tiglath-Pileser, we're going to invade Malchus Yehuda. And he says, you wouldn't be crazy enough to do that. And he does that. So you have this invasion from Malchus Yisrael and Syria coming on to Malchus Yehuda. Now, being that Malchus Yehuda is officially paying taxes to this Tiglath-Pileser, so he has to come in and protect his vessel. He has to protect his governor. And he's more than happy to do that because he's happy to kill the Syrians and to kill Jews. So he didn't need a lot of begging to actually come in. Unfortunately, we are our biggest problems. We fight against each other, then the Goyim come in to protect us and destroy both of us. That's our history of Klal Yisrael. So Tiglath-Pileser shows up. Now, what's really going on is that this Pekach is not so good. He's not doing what he wants. So let's see some psukim. These psukim are actually in Melochim. And the Torah tells us, that this Pekach ben Remaliah, he was a king for 20 years, and he started doing Avedis, Vayas Hora Beinei Hashem, and basically he didn't go off the path of Yerovam ben Nevat. So what happens? He gets deposed, and Pekach Melech Yisrael shows up, and at that time shows up Tiglath-Pileser, that's the Hebrew name for Tiglath-Pileser, from the king of Ashur, which he's officially coming to defend Malchus Yehuda. And that's why, by the way, Malchus Yehuda lasts another 100 years, because they were never on the losing side. They were always on the side of Ashur. We destroyed ourselves with the whole story of Gedaliah, same Gedaliah, but that comes later. So Tiglath-Pileser shows up, and it's interesting pasuk. The pasuk says he took captive Iyun Ovel Macha Yonoyach Kedesh Chotzer Vesagilot Vesagalila Kol Eretz Naphtali Vayagle Mashura. He takes all these groups from the land of Naphtali and he brings them to Ashur. Now we don't know exactly who is this first group. Who are these people that he takes captive? And here we have a big machloikis between Rashi and most of the other Mefarshim and Midrashim. Which you see the Rashi over here, we're going to focus mainly on the opinion of the other Midrashim. According to Rashi, the first group of Shvatim to be taken captive are Zvulun and Naphtali. They're the ones that get taken away first. According to the other Mefarshim, they base their pshat on a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. The pasuk in Divrei Hayomim tells us that there was a king that showed up and his name was Tilgas Pilneser, which most Mefarshim say is that another way of saying Tiglat Pileser because it's the same name. And who does he bring into Golus? Vayaglem l'Raveni v'lagodi v'lachati shevet Menashe. So according to most of Mefarshim, and this is the opinion that we're going to be focusing on, the first Shvatim to be fall victim and to be pretty much sent to the other side of the world, we'll soon see where they went, but the first Shvatim to be taken out of Eretz Yisrael are Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. And this takes place in this Tkufa of the king Pekah. Now, there's only 2.5 Shvatim. And Emir Tzeshem, tomorrow's shir, we're going to go through the next step. What was the history? What caused the king of Asher to come back and take the next group of Shvatim? That we will, Emir Tzeshem, discuss in tomorrow's shir.